supply. He's going to make the enemy hand over all my stuff. Some of you, the devil has taken your joy, and he's taken your shout. He's even taking some of y'all testimony. Oh, but I dare you, throw your hands up. The devil, hand it over. Oh, y'all better say it like I mean it. Hand it over. Can I get a witness here? Hand it over. Come on, you know how they do in the bank robberies. Tell them to put your hands up. No sudden movements. Just hand it over. Can I get a witness here? And I won't let the devil know this is a Holy Ghost stick up. In the name of Jesus. You done took all my stuff. Hey, you done took all my stuff. Oh, but devil, you got to hand it over. You mess with me long enough, you got to hand it over. Can I get a witness here? Tell somebody, I came here tonight to get my stuff back. I came here tonight to get my praise back. I came here tonight to get my joy back. Tell that devil he's got to hand it over. But my God shall supply all. My Lord, every word just take me a little bit deeper. But my God shall supply. Tell somebody all. Somebody said, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. Tell them all. Somebody said, preacher, you don't know what I'm dealing with. Tell them all. You don't know what I had to go through today. You don't know what I've been through this week. You ought to grab them by the hand and shake their hand and tell them all. My God shall, yes, supply all. I've got needs. I've got problems on top of each other. But my God shall supply all. I've got some old things. I've got some things I've been praying about so long. They've been hidden away. They've been stacked on the shelf. But I hear Raymond word in the house tonight that my God shall supply all. If it's a need, God said all. Oh, my God shall supply. Oh, my God shall supply. But my God shall supply. Oh, can I get a witness here? I don't care how minuscule it seems. If it is a need, God can meet it. Can I get a witness? Y'all better talk back to me now. It may be insignificant to everybody else, but my God will meet the needs. Can I get a witness here? God didn't say it had to be a certain size or a certain magnitude. Didn't say it had to be going through it to a certain length of time. If it is a need, I want you to put it on the altar tonight because God has said, I'm going to supply all of your needs. Can I get a witness here? I don't care how long you've been praying about it. Some have been wrestling with it and fighting with it and trying to deal with it. Trying to push it to the back of our mind. Trying to act like it never did happen. Can I get a witness here? Well, but God said, I don't know. I want to deliver you from that. That's what you're trying to hide and push to the back. God said, I want to deliver you from it. I want to deliver you from the fight that you're going. My God, somebody better hear me here. Because God is speaking. The fight that you're going through. You don't have to push it to the back and fight with it later. God said, I want to deliver you from that fight. Can I get a witness here? God said, I want to deliver you and give you the victory in that fight you're going through. Is anybody hearing me here? And I want you to know that the God that I serve is able to deliver. Can I get a witness here? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego at the fiery furnace. They said, King, we're not even careful how we should answer you, but the God that we serve is able to deliver. Somebody shout, yeah! But my God shall supply all your need. All your need. Need. You can sit down if you can. But my God shall supply all your need. All your need. I only really have one need. I've got a lot of wants. I got a lot of things that I need, but there's only really one need that I really have, and that's to draw closer to God. Oh, y'all better hear me here. I know that might not be the one you were thinking of. That might not have been the one at the forefront of your mind, but that's the only thing I need to do. Even David said, Lord, I would draw nigh to thee with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Lord, I've got to get closer to you. For the Bible declares, if I seek ye first the kingdom of God, all y'all, I'm not going to say nothing here. All this righteousness and other things, they will be added. So if I put God first, so my most apparent need is to get closer to God. When I get closer to God, all those other things I'm dealing with, God will kind of just work out. Can I get a witness here? If I get close enough to God, everything else will just kind of fall off and he'll work out. Can I get a witness here? So one thing I really need to do is get closer to God. Can I get a witness here? See, that's the thing I really need. I want that y'all to get in your mind. You may have petitions and need, but if you get a little bit closer to God, God can shake all those trials off. Can I get a witness here? He can shake them off. Can I get a witness here? So I want you to understand, the closer you get to him, all the better things gonna get. See, the enemy's trying to fight you because he don't want you to get closer, because when you get closer, you get stronger. When you get stronger, you get better. Can I get a witness here? Listen, I've got some trials that are hindering me. I got some weights that are hanging on to me. Can I get a witness here? Oh, but when I get closer to God, the weights have got to fall off. When I get closer to God, those trials that were acting bad gotta straighten up and get right, because I'm getting closer to the source. Can I get a witness here? Somebody shout, yeah. And that's what we're talking about, the source of my supply. Now, a source is the origin or the beginning of something. Can I get a witness here? So if I want things to get worked out, I've got to get close to the source. Is anybody hearing me? Now understand, if I want a clock to work and I have it plugged into the wall, see that wall, that wall is not the source. It's only an outlet. Are you hearing me here? But where the power comes from is to get to the outlet. That is the source. So if there is a need or a petition in my life, I've got to get close to the source. Is anybody hearing me here? That's why David said in Psalms 121, I will look to the hills from which cometh my help. Can I get a witness here? See, I understand where my help come from. I understand where the source of my strength come from. Can I get a witness here? Tell somebody, I'm looking to the source. I'm looking to the source. I may have problems today, but I'm looking to the source. Can I get a witness here? I've got to rely on the source, where it all comes from. The source, the beginning, where it originated from. Is anybody hearing me here? He said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the source. I am the beginning. Can I get a witness here? He is the beginning. He is the source. So if I rely on the source for my strength, I can't.
We know that the word of God has blessed you richly as you have listened to this word in power and excellence. Listen each Sunday at the same time or visit us at 416 DeSoto Street for regular scheduled services, Sunday school starting at 9:45 a.m., Sunday morning worship beginning at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays, 7 o'clock p.m., or phone us at 318-253-6232 or 318-264-0301 or on the World Wide Web at pdusk3@aol.com. And remember, there is always room at the cross for you. Now there is power.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret, because he.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
God is building. Very important to note that the building is not complete. Amen. He is continuing to build, and our theme reference is that 127th number of Psalm and the first verse. But I want to call your attention this morning to John chapter 12 and verse 32, the book of John chapter 12 and verse 32. I'm always happy to see our college students when they come home, amen, looking out at some of them, and we pray and trust that they're making straight A's. Straight A's. Amen. John chapter 12 and verse 32, and we're going to talk about church growth because, again, the building is not complete. Amen. Building the church. There you will find these words. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And I, Jesus says, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And that is our subject this morning, building the church. Thank you, ushers. Thank you so much. Amen. Anyone who is a follower of the carpenter from Nazareth and has the best interest of the church in mind wants to see the church grow. No one should ever be content with the size of the church until everyone in our world is connected to Christ through his church. No matter the size of the church, no matter how many services you have, no matter how many chairs we have to put in the aisles, anyone who is a part of a church ought to desire that it grows even more. All of us should have the mindset of the master of the house in that parable of the great feast. You Bible readers will remember that he sends his servant into the city to gather people for the feast. You Bible readers will remember that the invitees come, but there is still room in the house. Tell your neighbor there's still room in the house. And so just as the master sends his servant out of the city to gather more people, none of us Pleasant Hill ought to stop working for and praying for the growth of our church until the house is filled. The growth of our church means the growth of the church. We ought to want the church to grow because that means additions to the body of Christ. We shouldn't just get excited about our church growing, but also about the growth of the body of Christ. That's why I can get excited about the church across town. Amen. If it's growing, I can get excited about a church in Texas or in India if it's growing. When that church grows, the universal church grows. Too many churches see themselves in competition with other churches instead of in competition with the kingdom of darkness. Amen. But how many of you know that when Pleasant Hill grows, and when Mount Olive grows, when New Willow grows, amen, the ecclesia, which means the called out body of believers, that is the universal church, grows. Then I ought to want my church to grow because the growth of my church means a possible curtailing of the maladies of society. In other words, the more people that come into our churches, the less people there are to continue to perpetuate some of the negative things that happen in our communities. Therefore, we ought to want the church to grow. When the church grows, we end up having more bodies to do the work of ministry. We can do a whole lot more with 500 people than we can with 4 people. And I've heard some pastors whose churches aren't growing argue and say that, you know, it ain't about numbers, but I beg to differ. Amen. We can do a whole lot more ministry work with 500 or 1,000 than we can with 10 or 15 or 20. Do I have a witness today? The more people who come into our church, the more people we will have to do kingdom work. I wonder sometimes, though, do we really want that? Do we really want, amen, more people in the ministry to do kingdom work? Pastor, why are you asking that? I'm asking that because sometimes I get the feeling that some of us are territorial about our positions in church, our seats in church. Some of y'all act like you bought season tickets. You get here a little late and somebody in your spot, you got the nerves, that's my seat. No, I don't have a record, amen. I don't have any records in the back showing that you paid for a season ticket. But some of us, I wonder sometimes if we're not uncomfortable with church growth because of insecurity. We ought to go get as many people as possible because someone out there has been gifted to do the work of the ministry. Amen. Don't worry about if they sing a little better than you or if they preach a little better than you. Amen. We're all on the same team and we all ought to be striving for the same goal, and that is to tear Satan's kingdom down. I need to tell you this too. The church ain't about my family. It's not about your family. Amen. Tell your neighbor, it's bigger than that. The truth is, the church is more about destiny than it is about history. Now, we like to celebrate our history, but let's not ever get so consumed and caught up in our history that we forget that the Lord has called us into this work not to celebrate history, but to strive to fulfill destiny. I wonder if there's anybody here today who understands that you have a destiny in God. That where you are now is not your final destination, but God has bigger for you. God has better for, oh, y'all don't act like you don't believe it. God has greater for me. God has better for me. If I can testify by myself. And then we ought to want the church to grow so that other people will have some of what we've been getting. Amen. We celebrate how rich the word is in church. We talk about how good worship was. We get excited about how effective our youth ministry is. We can't be selfish about these things. Someone else needs to hear the word Sunday after Sunday. Someone else needs to taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. When you come across something good, don't be selfish about it. You ought to want somebody else to know the joy, this joy that I have that the world didn't give to me and the world can't take it away. So if we want our church to grow, Jesus gives us the key. He plainly says, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all people unto me. Now look, it all got started when some Greeks came looking for Jesus. Tell your neighbor, they were looking for Jesus. They said to Philip, sir, we would see Jesus. Some Greeks had come to the vicinity of Jerusalem during the time of the feast of the Passover. Perhaps they were proselytes, or perhaps they were simply seekers. The Greeks were known for going from philosophy to philosophy and from religion to religion because they said they were seeking the truth. And they didn't know it, y'all, but they had come to the right place on this day. They said to Philip, sir, we would see Jesus. This is what we need to hear from people in the back of our minds every time we do ministry. We ought to imagine that they are saying, sir or ma'am, we would see Jesus. This is what all preachers need to hear as we stand to preach. Sir or ma'am, we appreciate your opinions. We like your suits and your ecclesiastical garb. We are impressed that you are a doctor, bishop, or reverend. But on the serious tip, we would see Jesus. Choir member, every time you sing, you need to hear with your sanctified imagination that the people you're singing to are looking at, amen, that they are looking at you and saying, sir or ma'am, we would see Jesus. Musicians, every time you play, that's what you need to hear. Amen. We would see Jesus. Come on, tell your neighbor, I come to see Jesus. I come to have an encounter with Jesus. I come to experience a relationship with Jesus. We would see Jesus. Philip tells Andrew about these Greeks, and they bring them to Jesus. Jesus begins to say some things concerning his death. And you need to understand that the coming of the Greeks really means the end, amen, is near for Christ in this human realm. because the church is about to explode beyond the Jews. Now, Christ said he came for the Jews, but we understand, amen, that he didn't just come for the Jews, but his work primarily was for the Jews. And the fact that the Greeks are now coming to him confirms that the scene is about to explode. And so Jesus says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all people unto me." These Greeks are the first fruits of those who will come looking for Jesus. They've been drawn to him. And Jesus says, "You think I've been doing some drawing with my miracles?" He says, you think I've been doing some drawing with my preaching about the kingdom? You think I've been drawing by giving sight to the blind and opening deaf ears and making dumb men talk?" But he said, "Just wait until I get lifted up." In these few words, Jesus gives us the secret on how to reach the masses. If we want true church growth, Pleasant Hill, we need to pay careful attention to what Jesus is saying. He says that if you want the church to grow, number one, focus on Christ. Tell your neighbor, focus on Christ. See, you have to be sure that the right one is being lifted. That the right one is the center of attention. That the right one is the center of affection and allegiance. The verse says, "And I, if I." Now, in the original language, the word "I" is emphasized. And so Jesus doesn't just say, "If I be lifted," but he says, "If and I, if I," and the word is repeated to stress emphasis on who needs to be lifted. Oh my, oh my, oh my. It's not a matter of just someone dying on a cross, but it is the fact that although Jesus was not the first or last to be crucified, it is his dying on the cross that makes all the difference. Abraham and Sarah, who walked by faith, couldn't do it. Moses, the great emancipator, he could not do it. Elijah, the unrefined prophet from Tishbe, who called down fire upon Mount Carmel, he could not do it. David, the sweet singer of Israel, he could not do it. Amen. There were two thieves who died with him, but they could not do it. Only Jesus gives redemptive meaning to a criminal's death because of who he is. Do you know him today? I said, do you know him today? Who is Jesus? Sinless in his steps, submissive to the sovereign, silent in his suffering. He's Jesus. The one who was tempted in every way, just like we are, yet he didn't sin. He's Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, the stone that the builders rejected. He was the right one to be on the cross because he is very much God and very much man. He was fully God. He was fully man. He was fully God. He was fully man. But what I like about it is that, amen, he didn't compromise either one. He became what we are. Oh my, oh my. But he didn't stop being what he always was. He was the right one. Tell your neighbor, he was the right one to be on the cross. He was the right one to be on the cross. Thank you, God. And it is this Jesus who says, "And I, if I." Oh my, he's the only I that matters. The focus must be on him. Y'all, a focus on prosperity won't do it. Even a focus on the Holy Ghost won't do it. Because when you understand scripture, you understand that even the Holy Ghost came to point us to Jesus. Sometimes we lift the wrong stuff up. Did you hear what I said? I said sometimes we lift the wrong stuff up. Lifting up the pastor or the church leader is not good enough. Now you ought to show appreciation to your pastor and to teachers of the word, but you can't lift them too high. Can I tell you why? Because we have stains and we've got faults and we've got issues. Amen. The only one we can lift up who does not run the risk of embarrassing us is Jesus. Oh, you're real cute. Amen. But I said it in Bible study, given the right situation, you might do anything. Whew. Tell your neighbor, it's got to be about Jesus. It's got to be about Jesus. Amen. Amen. So real church growth, first of all, if we're going to have real church growth, we have to focus on Christ. But then secondly, if we're going to have real church growth, y'all, we've got to, watch this, celebrate the crucifixion. Celebrate, celebrate the crucifixion. What, Pastor, what are you talking about? Celebrate the crucifixion. That don't make sense. Amen. Amen. Jesus says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all people unto me. But it's very important that we understand that the lifting he's talking about here is not the resurrection. It's not talking about the ascension. It's talking about the crucifixion. The contextual trend of thought makes the lifting here definitely, without a doubt, the crucifixion. What a strange thing to celebrate. A cross. An execution. But this is what we glory in. We cannot, my brothers and sisters, ignore the cross. Some say the cross is an ancient, antiquated symbol that we no longer need in our churches. But Jesus says that his lifting is the key. Some of us want a crossless Christianity. Come on, am I by myself? What are you talking about, Pastor? Don't want to go through nothing. Some of us want a crossless, amen, Christianity. Don't want to ever be heard. Don't want to ever be talked about. Don't want to ever be lied on. But I thank God I had to figure it out. I had to learn for myself that if they lied on Jesus, get over yourself. If they talked about Jesus, get over yourself. Amen. Because the only reason we would think that we could go through this life without suffering, without trials, without trouble, is that we have somehow convinced ourselves that we're better than Jesus. Well, baby, if they would kill our Savior, you better be careful. They'll smile in your face. They'll sop with you at the dinner table. They'll run with you in the garden. And then stab you in the back. Oh, but I got some good news today. The reason we can celebrate the crucifixion, watch this. Now, the Romans and the Jews, they orchestrated the crucifixion. Did you hear what I said? I said the Romans and the Jews orchestrated the crucifixion. But the shout is that no matter how nefarious and negative the stuff people orchestrate against you, if God ordained it, tell your neighbor it will work for your good. Oh, I thank him. With the cross, God took the evil intent of the enemy, put his hand on it, and filled it with purpose. God took the cross and used it against Satan. God specializes in that. Do I have a witness? God takes pleasure in transforming what is meant for your destruction and making it that which is for your good. God can even take what we consider our mess and make use of it. I told you in Bible study a couple of weeks ago about a sermon I heard at the National Convention, Bishop Claude Alexander, amen. He preached a sermon, and his first point was effective ministry requires manure management. And basically what he was telling us is that anytime you've got to deal with people, you've got to deal with mess. Do I have any people in here today? Now, if you're real quiet, it might be. Because you're the one keep up the mess.